People die, Aaron.
Yes.
People die. People do die. She kills a lot of them.
He kills a lot of them. He can disintegrate her with a gesture.
Yes, but she has also seen the future in which that happens, and she knows how to get around it.
Good, she knows how to die.
She can see the future and change the future. She knows her.
Hey, welcome back to the Nerdament Podcast. My name is Hayden. I'm here as per usual with
Victoria
and
Aaron.
And we're here to talk about some Star Wars. How is everybody doing tonight?
I'm okay.
All right.
I'm good.
I'm all right. Thanks. I got Jazz out today.
That's a new one.
Aaron's got Mando.
Yeah.
He says that he has one that we haven't seen.
Really?
Yeah. Did y'all like got one? The pack. Y'all got
yeah,
the
it was that box we
it.
Got. Dude, I threw that across the room.
You threw them across the room?
Yeah.
Y'all and y'all will see them next episode.
So does that mean are multiples? They in? No, they're not. He said they're not.
No,
in
like
any of these.
I'm keeping it as vague as possible.
Okay.
Yeah, no. They're not. Next week will be the first time I don't have a character since we came back to video that it's the first time I haven't had a character I have a pop of, so I'll be able to bring them into all of this.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. What they
really
look
like their design too.
We'll see what they look like.
Really cool.
We'll see what they look like. But Aaron, why?
So for those of you all watching this for the first time, me and Hayden created a 128 seed tournament using characters from Star Wars, Jedi, Sith, Other. And me and Hayden present our characters, argue with each other. Victoria renders the final judgment.
Yo.
Yep, that's
pretty much it.
It's pretty good.
That was nice quickness on that one.
Yeah. Hopefully I didn't talk too fast with people actually knew.
With haste.
With expedience.
Expedience.
This episode, we have Exar Kun versus Cognus, Darth Malgus versus Din Djarin, Darth Treya versus Ezra Bridger, and Rey Skywalker versus Cal Kestis.
Yeah. In my research for this episode, I realized that we had been spelling Darth Treya incorrectly the entire time.
Is it an E?
Two E?
Two, an E.
T-R-A-Y-A.
It's like gray.
Yes.
Which way is the American way to spell it? Is it the A of the American?
You're asking the wrong person. I'm the one who, two episodes ago, asked what English was.
And you're a teacher.
And I'm a teacher.
Albeit a science teacher, but still a teacher.
Science. But yeah, no.
I think E is the British spelling, and A is the English.
I thought one was a name and one was a color.
Oh.
It's an English-American thing, I think.
It's like color.
Oh, well, yeah. So there's
anytime we take out a U.
If there was a U in gray in England, then it needed to be taken.
It's
you
silent.
Need to be gotten rid of.
It's a silent gray. But yeah, Aaron, where are we starting today? Let's just jump right in.
Which one's going to be there?
I think the Cognus one is probably the closest.
The closest?
Yes.
If you say so.
Yeah, sure, buddy. Let's go Treya versus Ezra.
Sure, buddy. All right, you go first, Aaron. Yes. Make it much haste.
Haste? Well, this is the main character of the Star Wars TV shows Rebels.
That's why I said with haste.
Yeah. I'm cutting out just by necessity. You'll see when I get to Mando, because you have seen his show. I have to cut out so much. I'm talking about main characters.
Especially Mando, because she has seen all of the things he's been in.
Yeah, so you have really skip. You have to go with major plot developments. Skip through a bunch of story-like stuff, because I hardly talk about his parents. It's like a running thing in the entire show. But I have to just kind of skip that. And stick with his found family and stuff like that. Anyway, he was born on Empire Day, the same day that the First Galactic Empire, that speech. And he was raised by two rebel sympathizers who were getting audio messages, real all the light we cannot see kind of vibes. But they were arrested and presumed dead for a long time. He later stole from the ghost crew, of the other main characters that we've talked about, Kanan and Sabine being on this list.
No longer in the tournament.
It's also...
They both lost, aren't
they? Yeah. And the other person in that group happens to be one of the best pilots ever. Somebody who's piloting rivals Han Solo, Hera Syndulla.
What about Wedge?
Well, she's a different... She's a freighter pilot.
Poe.
She does rival them, actually.
That's high praise from Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron's a massive
when you talk Wedge about fan. Like the when you talk about like the mm-hmm. top, you know, like, I mean, five.
Shush.
He likes Wedges.
No, shut
up. I like Wedge. Singular.
It's his favorite simple machine. Personally, I prefer pulleys.
Stop it.
Just saying, pulleys are dope.
Anyway, he stole from them. And then Kanan, and then a couple of episodes happened. And then he joined them and became Padawan the Kanan. And then he stayed with them for years, fighting with the rebellion, training as a Jedi, fighting the Empire, Inquisitors, several Inquisitors, Mandalorians, Darth Vader, and was tempted by Darth Maul himself. Now skipping several seasons ahead, lost Kanan, whatever that big sacrifice Kanan did.
Explosion.
Which we discussed at this point. He was able to take Lothal and defeated Grand Admiral Thrawn and withstand it tempting from Sheev Palpatine, and then defeated Grand Admiral Thrawn, the greatest strategist in the galaxy. Through his connection with the hyperspace space whales.
Whales.
Called Purgles. They're majestic. They're beautiful.
It's like Star Trek. Space whales.
His lightsaber form is Form 4. That's because he learned from holocrons of Anakin teaching that. So he learned Form 4. He has a blue lightsaber that has a blaster built into it. And he also has a green lightsaber. He has normal Jedi powers and enhanced connection with life forms. And he was able to possess beings when he tapped into the dark side. He was able to fight Darth Vader alone for a substantial amount of time. And was able to... He and Kanan were able to withstand Darth Vader and escape without anybody getting hurt in the process. And throw a walker at him for extra, you know, oomph. He basically got thrown into the deep end when he was like 12. By constantly being trained as a Jedi during the time where Jedi are actively being hunted. So he fought.
The best time to be trained as a Jedi.
I mean, if you live. Well, no, it was the secret got out real quick. He fought Inquisitors constantly. Whenever he actually became trained, he actually got a vision from Yoda. Where Yoda reached out to him in a Jedi temple. So he from the time he was 12, he warranted a connection of Yoda risking blowing his cover on Dagobah to reach out and talk to him.
Okay.
Darth Maul saw enough potential in him when he was very young to become his apprentice. He's apprenticed to the Kanan Joris, Jedi Knight, who we have talked about before. And during his last time, he was able to, like, fully, like, basically connect, like, trying to think of somebody who's able to, like, talk with animals on this, like, level. He could basically reach out with several, like, animals, very powerful animals, like Lothwolves, Purgles, Freenox. He could reach out to them from, like, long, far away and call them to him. And, like, basically, like, they listened to him. He called in a pack of Lothwolves to take Lothal. Because they're very strong in the Force and everything, all that. So, yeah, that's my introduction to Ezra.
Okay, you good?
Yeah.
All right. I have Treya, or Darth Treya, or Jedi Knight Kreia. Not very good with the names. Mm-hmm. She trained Revan. She was blind, but could force wield three lightsabers. She could use... These are her force powers that she could use. I'm just going to list them off. I don't really have like an explanation for some of these, but you can just kind of guess what they mean. All right. Force horror. Force speed. Force crush. Force cloak. Force what? Energy resistance.
What was the first one?
Horror. Horror. Horror.
What is that?
it's the thing in Harry Potter that like has the
they use like the ridiculous spell
on? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on. Energy resistance, force scream, force lightning, force choke, and mind tricks.
Okay.
Okay. She killed dozens of Sith at once by using something called Dark Heal.
Like taking their life
force? Yeah, she took several Sith's life forces to heal herself and killed dozens of them at once. She could sever Jedi Masters from the Force.
That's normal
entirely stuff, Avatar style.
It seems like in Legends that's just an
everybody could do that back then, apparently.
Yeah,
it was all over the place. How did anybody maintain a connection with the Force back then?
I don't know. Everyone's walking around like you're walking around with a thread, and everyone has the scissors.
Yeah, exactly. Able to predict the future, could see Mace killing Jango 4,000 years before it happened.
She must have been confused.
What the hell? Who are these people?
No, this feels like a big deal. All right. Why is it a big deal?
She has breath control and is immune to poison.
Breath control?
Breath control. Like Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and Phantom Menace.
Oh, like can hold her breath for an ungodly amount of time.
An ungodly amount of time, yes. Right. Or Jar Jar Binks.
I mean, that's... It's kind of like a hippo kind of thing, I think.
It's like a hippo Gungans. Thing. Are Gungans hippos?
That's the best thing I got.
Gungans hippos?
I'm trying to think of mammals that spend a lot of time underwater.
No.
I think it would be cool if he was a hippopotamus.
I think his nose worked. I'm saying his nose might work like a hippopotamus.
Imagine
when he's like, underwater, it like closes.
Yeah, imagine like a realistic version of like those rhinos from Kung Fu Panda, but like in a hippo. Like imagine like a real life version of that.
You watched Kung Fu Panda?
You didn't?
Once, when it came out.
Wait, you haven't watched like all of...
I watched the first one.
What's wrong with you?
Once. What is wrong with you?
I was watching Star Wars. Movie.
You didn't keep going?
I understand, but I was watching Star Wars.
This is a whole other thing.
And Phineas and Ferb.
We'll do this later.
Oh, okay. My land.
You watch yourself.
Okay.
All right. Here's the most important one. She could bring beings back to life from the dead. Resurrecting things. So. Okay. She could modify memories of the Jedi and changing their memories in their heads. Using the Force.
So that's a big ass lady there.
Yes. She could have healed her own eyes. Remember, she's blind. She could have healed her own eyes, but decided instead that she would rather see through the Force instead of through light emissions from the sun.
Like with Kanan and Toph.
Yeah. You'd prefer using the Force to
prefer
your eyes.
Perspective.
Yeah. And the three floating lightsabers that she used to fight, they didn't have to stay around her. They could travel a little bit. So
was she born blind?
No. Her eyes atrophied as she got older.
Okay, so she learned the perspective of
in
being
the same,
blind.
Similar in the way that Kanan did.
Okay.
That is Treya. Again, I will reiterate, could bring things back to life.
Well, I mean, I don't think that means her.
And sever Jedi Masters from the Force entirely. And change their memory. And see the future.
Yeah, but like...
Questions?
What does she do to act? What does she do with when she's... Winner? When this information... No, not yet. I'm not done yet.
You Ezra. Are done.
Something I forgot to mention here is Lothal is a very, very powerful planet. In the Force, it looks like where me and Hayden grew up. It's the closest representation of where me and Hayden grew up, basically. In like Star Wars, the other one's like Utapau. But like, it looks like nothing planet. But it has a very strong connection to the Force because that's where the world between worlds is. That allows you to go travel in between time and space. In like, a time. Yeah, very. It's a very mystically powerful planet. It's also where they developed the TIE Defenders, the Thrawn's like Death Star, basically. So being born on that planet meant that he had, and it also has the Lothwolves, who are very force powerful in the Force. It's a very mystic planet, meaning that being born there, he was immediately attached to a very strong Force connection. And like Dathomir, planets like people coming from Dathomir and places like that, he has a very strong connection with the Force that is enhanced by being there. So strong, in fact, that Yoda reached out to him, Maul wanted him to be his apprentice, and Palpatine wanted him to be his new apprentice.
She could cut people off from the Force.
Yes, but most of those Jedi back then probably didn't have enough strong enough Force
powers. She also killed dozens of Sith by draining their life energy.
She also got her powers severed, didn't she?
She did, but then she rediscovered it. She got her powers severed as a Sith, but then went back to the Jedi and rediscovered those powers. Hmm. Do you have any questions? Do you have a winner? You don't have a winner?
No.
Why not?
I don't know who to choose.
What you mean? What's the confusing part? She could even change the memories of this dude.
She's powerful, and then he's powerful, and they're both powerful.
Would it help if an apt fan casting of him is the guy that played Aladdin in live action?
No.
No.
But thank you for that.
That would be a really cool fan.
It would be cool. Yes. That's I will say.
Fun thought process.
Severing people from Force.
He got, you know, Sabine and Kanan. He got basically trained by them.
They're both out of the tournament right now.
That's just because they both made it into the second round. Hayden.
Current. They're out of the tournament right now.
Trey is about to be.
They have already lost.
That's just because
they're
matched.
All of his major feats against Darth Vader were including Kanan.
Also, when Kanan he was like 12. Here.
He was still including Kanan
when he was 12.
I'll just go with Treya.
Treya! Yay. Who's next? Treya.
Let's go with the ones that are... It's going to make a lot of fanboys mad.
God, I don't want to do that.
Let's get it out of the way.
Ugh, I have made it known in the past that I don't like this guy.
Which is... Yeah, I do like that guy. I don't know why. I don't know what you don't like about him.
I don't like that he's from a video game and all of his feats are done by the user. Oh, that makes it troubling for me. Mm. That all of like the things, the important things that he was able to do, is through the person playing the video game. Mm. That's what I don't like.
What about BD-1?
BD-1 is a robot.
BD-1 is amazing. BD-1, like, immediately went straight to our hearts.
He did. And BD units are dope. And I love them. Yeah,
they're adorable. They're little puppies.
BD-1 is the best character in that entire game.
BD. When Mando was making his new fighter, and that little droid was helping him and stuff, like illuminating in the places he was working, like crawling around and stuff.
She knows what a BD unit is.
Oh, okay. I'm just reminding you. That's a BD unit.
Okay.
Yeah. If you haven't figured it out already, I have Cal Kestis of Fallen Order.
Most of these Old Republic people are also in a video game.
I know, but they have books and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Revan has several books.
It's because he's Revan.
He's also the main character of the Old Republic, or KOTOR, if you will. KOTOR. KOTOR.
Yes.
Cal Kestis. You never played the video game.
No.
Did you see me play the video game?
No,
I think you
I
may have. But
I don't know for sure, honestly.
Yeah. So Cal Kestis.
Okay.
He is a very quick learner. He was severed off, separated and cut off from the Force for 5 years after Order 66 until some... What are they called?
What are Inquisitors?
Inquisitors. You know, those losers. They showed up and started poking their nose where they didn't belong. And then he used the Force again. So, woo! Back in it. And then throughout the game, he learned more and more. Which is part of the game. That's what you're supposed to do in the game. Some progression. So, whatever.
I'm not accepting Cal slander in here, Peyton. I may be fighting him here, but I'm not accepting it.
Well, you're about to hear some. But anyway, he survived Darth Vader, which is true. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. See, that's a good thing. He killed or defeated multiple Inquisitors, having been in hiding for years and disconnected from the Force prior to that. He could use both single and double-bladed lightsabers and interchange them during a fight. He was able, during a fight, you could interchange and use combos of 1, 2, and the third fighting style that he had. You could use combinations that incorporated all
three of them. Dark High. Breaking it apart.
Yeah. So you could do, he was able to use all three of those at the same time, which threw off the people he was fighting. Okay. He was able to blade lock with Vader. So that stuff. And then BD shocked Vader. BD-1, that is. Shocked Vader. And then Cal was able to slash Vader's stomach. But then it kind of went awry after that. Vader pushed him around with the Force pretty easily. And
stabbed him with his own lightsaber.
Yeah, the whole thing. It was a valiant effort. Okay, but he was able to finally run away and survive his encounter. A lot of Jedi could say they couldn't do that. Where was I? He could use Force stasis to hold multiple enemies in place. And then they stand still and he moves around normally.
Yeah, slowed them down.
Yeah, he could also slow down time with the Force. He was able to pull down a piece of machinery while being Force choked by Vader. He was being Force choked and he was able to pull a machine down.
Was it a machine or was it a full catwalk?
It's a machinery.
Okay.
But unfortunately, after that happened, Vader kind of yeeted him.
And then dismantled Fortress Inquisitorius.
Yeah. He could also throw and command his lightsaber in the air.
He also threw his lightsaber one at a time. He threw one half of it and controlled it with it, and then still fought with the other.
Okay, interesting.
I feel like I should have done both of these characters.
Fight yourself?
Yes. So I have Rey Skywalker. You know her.
You've seen everything she's been in except for the comic books.
Yeah,
do you know Rey?
Yes, I do know Rey.
Okay. Well, none of the comic books really go into after or when she is actively a Jedi. It's kind of before stuff. Kind of want to see the after, in between stuff with main characters.
I know that's it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm hoping that they do continue to make movies with
Rey. I really want it to flesh out.
And
Finn
as
a Jedi.
And Poe and stuff like that.
Yeah. I really,
but
I really
if you're
going to
do that, Star Wars, if you for the off chance that you're watching this, if you're going to do that, make the enemies not stormtroopers. We're done with the stormtrooper clone thing. Do something different like the High Republic.
It's a legacy kind of thing.
The High Republic.
It's the legacy of the clone. It holds a lot of weight in the galaxy.
Do it.
Absolutely would have happened.
Don't do it. Do the Yusong Vong.
Nobody wants to do that.
Do the Yusong Vong. It will pay off. Trust me.
That's not
it?
Terrible to execute.
Yes. Why?
They're just powerful. They're just
They're anti-force beings.
And there's two or
that's
three
amazing.
People who use the Force at the time.
It's amazing.
Yusong Vong. You got to do the story, Hayden. Storyboard. The storyboard needs to be above the enemy.
Yusong Vong.
That's why the Nihil work so well, even though they're just pirates, basically. Anyway, basically all of Rey's story. Her form, she developed her own lightsaber form, kind of like Cal.
Based off of the staff.
Yeah, she learned how to fight with a staff on Jakku in street fighting kind of thing. So her lightsaber use kind of modeled after that. and then mixed in with other lightsaber forms that she learned. So her attacks are typically very wide, but she does them very quickly. She's so fluent with them, she can do them very quickly.
Is this orange lightsaber? Yellow lightsaber ray?
Well, that's the most powerful version.
Okay.
She has the typical stuff, but plus the Force Dyad, and also the, like, lying in wait Palpatine part of her that can shoot lightning.
On accident.
When she taps
it was an accident.
Because she got angry. She also has a blaster pistol hidden on her. Also like Cal, since Cal was a scrapper, she was also a scavenger, which is basically the same thing, except Cal was on a junkyard planet. She was on like a...
Cal was getting paid.
She was getting paid in food. We don't know what Cal was getting paid in.
That guy was stingy as hell.
Yeah, Unkar Plutt.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Do you think the guilds in Star Wars are also sketchy? You think the Scrappers Guild was giving Cal much of anything?
No.
No. Do they didn't...
Especially not at that time. It was a rough time financially.
They were like giving... They were sending Cal on the side of a Minotaur that was getting cut in half. Like climbing on the side.
Somebody had to do it. Okay.
I don't think anybody did. I don't think anybody had to do it.
Somebody did, so they sent him up there.
Guilds are terrible in Star Wars.
It's just a union.
The mining guild is the worst.
It's just a union.
It's yeah, but the union's corrupt. Don't be
such a capitalist.
The unions are corrupt.
Don't be such a capitalist.
Dude.
You believe this guy? He doesn't believe in unions.
The mining guild, like, purposely went out and enslaved people. It was compared to as worse as the Empire. It was like treatment that is as worse as the worst Empire.
Okay, this has nothing to do with Rey Skywalker.
So basically, she also basically learned on her own. But basically, the Darth Vader of her time, Kylo Ren.
Watch yourself.
The Darth Vader of the time, and basically, literally picking up the legacy of Vader and being of the same bloodline.
Immortalizing. Or, like, putting his mask up on, like, a pedestal, literally.
Yeah, sitting in the ashes of the people he's killed.
Yeah.
Metal. Kylo Ren, when he was Kylo Ren, was metal.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. If there was anything, if there was ever anything you could say about Kylo Ren, it was metal. He
definitely listened to metal in his TIE Fighter.
Yeah, like screech.
Yeah.
Metal. He has the hair for it too. Words.
I wonder if he like listened to the screech because he hated the screech and it made him angry, which made him more powerful. He was just
What if he listened to like pop rock or something?
What
like
if
that?
He just listens to like Mozart because he's like it's so beautiful. Oh.
I can feel the power coursing through my veins.
It reminds me of my father.
You think Han Solo is a Mozart kind of guy?
I was gonna, when I started that sentence, it was like, it reminds him of Leia, but he just doesn't feel mad at
Confirmed.
Leia. Han Solo is
a Mozart guy.
he got into it, Chewie. Yeah. Chewie got him into it.
I get it.
Chewie is a Mozart guy.
Chewie definitely is.
100%.
I could see him and Leia, like, getting together to discuss Mozart. Leia is much more critical, though.
Okay.
Like, it's very blunt.
I think I know what kind of music Kylo Ren actually listens to. And this reference isn't going to make sense to you because you haven't made it that far in Parks and Rec.
Okay.
Did I show you the dance, like the Valentine's Dance episode of Parks and Rec where Rob was like playing the songs?
I don't think so.
It was just like, monk. Like, and like it was making everybody like super depressed. That's what Kylo Ren listens to.
I feel like
that's what he's blasting.
I feel like that's what Yariel Poof listens to.
It's just like monk. Like, that is the original form of music.
Oh.
I took a music class in college. That was the original form of music.
Interesting.
Monk humming.
No,
yes, it was.
Music predates monasticism.
Sounds like a sad time.
That's why Kylo Ren listens to it. It gets him going.
He needs to be angry, not depressed.
He feels something.
He needs to hit he's gonna something. Feel, he's going to feel something. He needs to not cry.
Nobody cries listening to Monk Monk humming.
Maybe he does, though. He's like, wow, it's so moving. I'm
well, crying. Then maybe he is a Mozart guy. Maybe he is.
Maybe.
Yeah, move on. Anyway. Wait, no, wait. Richard Wagner. That's what he listens to. All right. Because he was a Nazi.
You know what? Yeah. You know what else Yario Puth listens to? Philip Glass.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Just background, ambient music.
God.
I feel like that's what so just bad. Went. I feel like that's what they played on like the speakers of the Genitouch. Oh. It's like Philip Glass, like ambient music.
Dude, that or elevator
you're going to give so many people headaches. Because it's all just ridiculously high.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like high screeching maybe, noise.
What if that's like the in the towers they played Philip Glass? Like in the bottom? Because it's like lower.
It resonated up the tower.
That yeah, sounds yeah. horrible. It's,
when you're in the elevator, it just keeps getting high.
That sounds like the pitch, worst thing ever.
The pitch yeah. just keeps bending up.
Oh, God.
So at the entrance, it's just like bass notes.
It's the monk thing. It's like it turns from monk into Philip Glass yeah, as you go up the tower.
The Jedi Council just listens to Philip Glass. Oh,
I think we should move on because it's just getting crazy.
Anyway, Cal was barely able to escape Vader. Kylo Ren, the continuation of Vader, both legacy-wise and bloodline-wise.
We get it.
Fought Rey several times, of course. They were each other's equals. And in her first fight against him, she beat him. And in her last fight against him, she beat him. And again, they were equals. So, really, the fact of my matter here is if you're going by, like, equating stuff here...
I think it would be unfair to say that they were equals. I think Rey was stronger than Kylo. She was equals with Ben, which we have talked about is different.
Yeah.
I think she was stronger than Kylo because if you look at when the Force Awakens... When he tries to probe her mind, he's unable to do so.
She just probes him back.
Yes.
She hits...
Don't probe people back. Don't do that.
Don't
That's
probe
weird.
People in the first place.
Well, I guess if you're being probed, it's okay.
Don't...
It, no. It is never okay to probe.
Don't probe.
Don't listen to her. She doesn't know what she's talking
don't
about.
Don't probe somebody in the first place. Don't reverse probe. Don't hold up a mirror to the probe.
The Uno reverse card.
Listen
don't,
here.
Don't counter probe. Don't preemptively probe.
You can only probe if there's consent.
Yes,
yeah. Who's given consent to probe?
Ah, you can maybe someone's people, into it.
Maybe,
it's their kink, you know, they're like, I like probe.
Don't revenge probe either.
Yeah,
don't revenge. But like only consensual probe.
Consensual probe is
stop
allowed.
Saying consensual probe.
Only say probe if you both agree to it.
Yeah.
Is that better?
That's the safe way to probe.
It's the bet. That's the respect.
And y'all got mad at me for the staff sword thing.
We didn't. We have our own thing.
Yeah. You know, this is our thing.
Y'all's own thing is consensual probing. Is that really what you want, Yaddle lover?
I do not.
You want consensual probing?
Consensual probing is better than non-consensual probing.
That's, yeah.
No probing. No probing at all.
You're so off no base probing. In this episode.
No probing.
We're just gonna continue
fine.
On. Another thing is Cal got his training like cut off, and he was basically only doing it for a couple weeks, and that's all we've seen of Cal. I don't know if he, for all we know about Cal, the minute he cut the holocron in half. They could have just hit a meteor and died.
They're making another game.
Yeah, but we don't know what happened in there. So Cal.
Literally the last thing that Cal did was survive Darth Vader. Yeah. That was it.
It'd be really ironic if they just crashed. Anyway. So Cal has only been training for a couple weeks at the end of his story arc. After like losing his training as a child from like 9, I think. Or is he like 14?
Whenever apprentices first start getting trained by masters.
Probably like 14.
Somewhere in here.
Yeah. Rey has seen the full level of training.
I mean, just to say that, I mean, how old was Obi-Wan when he killed Darth Maul?
25.
Or cut Darth Maul in half.
Well, he was also late in the Padawan cycle.
Yeah.
But he was 25 when he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Cal, I think, is like 19.
Yeah, he is.
19 to
26. He's 14 when Order 66 happens, and it's 5 years after, so he's 19.
He's anywhere from 19 to 27.
No, I looked it up. I looked it up.
When did you look it up?
When I was doing my research.
Okay. yeah, but Rey has had the training from beginning to end. And she's been trained by...
No. Beginning.
Okay, she's been trained like the Luke beginning to end.
19?
Well, Luke was...
How old was she in Force Awakens?
Luke was 22.
How old was she in Force Awakens? Things he doesn't know.
I don't know.
We've been talking about probing.
It was 20s.
Well, I mean,
early 20s. Luke were early 20s when they started.
He did the research. I know how old Cal was. He needs to know how old Rey was.
You didn't know how old Cal was when he started.
Yeah.
I did when I looked it up and did my research earlier today.
No, you literally just said you didn't know earlier. Look. He asked you that question and you were like, I don't know.
He was 14.
You should run the tape. You should run the tape back to when he said, I don't know. You can
clearly see that I did not look it up between me saying I don't know and me saying he was 14. All right? It's just I remembered.
No, you said she was. You didn't I say remembered that you exactly remembered.
She was 19.
Okay.
There's something about getting thrown into stuff when you're 19.
You're legal.
What? It's coming of age. Like well, I mean, Luke and Leia were 19 in A New Hope.
To imply that it was okay to probe.
No, nobody said probing. Nobody said probing. Y'all gotta stop. you brought up the probing. Nobody said anything about probing.
Anakin was 19 in Attack of the Clones. Anakin was 19 in Attack of the Clones. Luke and Leia were 19 in New Hope.
See?
Cal was 19 in Fallen Order. She's 19 in Force Awakens. 19 is just a...
Kylo was not. He was 22.
He was older than her. He was like 9 whenever she was born.
Is he that much older than her?
I think so. Because whenever he joined Luke was the year Rey was born.
Oh wait, ew! I shipped them, and he was like 28.
You
and
shipped like 19.
Ew!
That was a weird relationship.
They ended up kind of together anyways.
I don't think that
was the closest she had
to a romantic relationship.
You don't need a romantic relationship.
I'm with you.
The movie was obviously leaning towards them being like a romantic thing. I don't think it was. Yes, it was.
I really don't think it was.
It totally
was. It's like saying Jyn Erso and Cassian Andor were romantic. Which they were not. They were not.
Okay.
Rogue One.
I don't think, Aaron, see, there are cues that women sometimes send that equal, I'm into you. So I just don't think you picked up on the cues there.
I don't care about the cues. I also don't care. I'm a person that really doesn't care about romantic subplots. Mm-hmm. I hardly care about many of them. I don't think they matter. I think they're not... I think they're often used because they didn't think about what to do on the main plot.
Anakin and
Padme. I feel like that added to the main plot.
So then some romantic relationships do add to the main plot.
Like Peter and MJ, Tom and Zendaya's Peter and MJ, Andrew and Gwen, Emma Stone's Gwen. Those are like perfect relationships.
What about Leia and Han?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
But not all relationships are perfect, though.
No, there are relationships that are just forced. It just feels forced. It has to be it's very hard to sell me on a relationship in media.
What relationship? Give me an example of a relationship that's forced. It's not the one we're talking about.
Doesn't feel right to me?
Yes.
Sharon and Steve. Sharon Carter and Steve.
From what?
Captain America.
You prefer Peggy?
I do prefer Peggy. But the Sharon Carter and Steve thing didn't feel right. It didn't feel right in the fact that he should have been Peggy. And didn't feel right in the fact that, like... Huh?
Said even, like...
Yeah, it just... Like, in the movies and stuff, it didn't convince me, really, that they were a thing.
But just because they're a thing doesn't mean that he isn't meant
to be. I know, it just didn't, Peggy. Like, convince me that they were into each other.
But, I mean, that's how relationships are sometimes. Like, you're with people that aren't really, like,
sounds your exhausting. Vibe.
But that's just dating.
That sounds exhausting. That sounds like a
that's
problem.
That's dating, my
that's that sounds like a problem.
Well, I have been engaged twice.
Yeah.
You know, personally, the first person I was engaged with.
Yes.
Did you get sussy vibes from that, but you didn't tell me?
I didn't know what sussy vibes were.
Can you believe this man?
Oh my god.
I was like, I was 14.
Anyways, to move on from y'all's relationship talk, let us know in the comments. Who do you ship in pop culture, and who gives you sussy vibes?
Also,
I will say, do not another say thing, another relationship thing.
I wasn't going to say anything about
that. I don't typically do. I'm not typically into like fan fiction relationships and stuff like that, and like fan made relationships. Just because I like, y'all know me in Wikipedia. I study the canon and stuff like a textbook. But the one like non canon relationship I do absolutely love. And do absolutely want to be true is Finn and Poe, because those two, I mean, come on, you cannot tell me those two.
I do have a question though. Okay, so if you're saying that there was no like vibe between,
not saying there was no vibe,
that they weren't trying to send us any vibe.
They didn't convince me of the vibe.
Okay, why did he die for her then?
That's a compassion thing.
I don't know.
And they're also connected to it. There are more like connections between people than romantic.
I don't know.
I get that, but no one's going to
die. I saw that as a platonic connection between them.
I am not sure about the Finn and Poe thing. Not because it's gay. I have no problem with that.
They were an old
couple. I was getting more Sean and Gus.
Yeah.
From those two.
I mean,
and you know that Sean and Gus are both straight.
Yes.
So that's how I was feeling about that. I wasn't feeling like romantic. I was feeling like best friends.
Yeah, I was,
you know.
Yeah, I get the best friends vibe. I also get the vibe of them being an old married couple.
I mean, they spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, and I could totally
still be an old married couple with a best friend though.
Mm.
That's true, but like I don't know. It just felt like they were paramours. Kind of like they could be paramours.
The difference I have though is that Finn and Poe have history, right? So it would make sense for Finn and Poe to have like a connection type situation that would even lead you to believe that there was more, right? But Rey and like Kylo, they didn't have like history. Like, yeah, they are a dyad, but like I feel like there was more signals that their relationship became more over time. And like, since they don't have that history for us to like lean back on, it's showing more like, oh, they've gotten to know each other, they've like changed each other, they're like leaning towards more of like romantic relationship, because friendship relationships,
before you said the romantic relationship, that can just be a platonic relationship.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I would like to move to the judgment phase of this, because clearly she knows more about Rey than any of these other characters.
Do you need us to like quickly recap the argument here?
Oh no, Rey won a while ago.
All right. Okay. Again, comments. Who's sussy?
What do y'all think about romantic relationships on screen?
Because and also,
I don't like them typically.
Did you get a vibe that they were trying to make Rey and Kylo like?
Okay. The problem I have with this whole like Rey and Kylo thing, I did get the vibe, but Rey was saying "I hate you" the entire time.
Well,
that's
yeah.
two the entire reason, like, movies.
If it is romantic, then it's toxic.
Oh my god.
It's like there you're like Tobian.
There are so yeah,
that,
many.
I don't approve of that.
Aaron doesn't like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man
and Mary Jane. All of the relationships are toxic.
But there are so many tropes like, that are like really that. Toxic. That's literally a style of romantic like
this is why I don't like romance in media. Especially in subplots, is because they rely on like toxicity and like pushing toxicity.
But it's not.
And
trying what is your favorite romantic relationship from like pop culture?
Tom and Zendaya.
Like real life?
Dating in real life too.
Yeah, that's true. Tom and Zendaya, Peter and MJ.
Peter and MJ. Okay, yeah, but not everyone's relationship is like that. Like
I understand.
Who's my like all-time favorite?
Your favorite relationship.
Mine would be probably on the side that Aaron doesn't like. There are actually two movies of like love relationships that I like, and one would be the one that you don't like, which is The Notebook.
I've never watched it.
It's pretty toxic.
Yeah. Oh,
great.
And then the other one would be The Vow. Which starts off like, you know, lovey, but there is also some toxicity in there too, because that's just relationships.
So. This is also coming from the woman who watched Netflix's
Bridgerton.
No, yes.
Yes.
What is that show you watched the other day that I caught you watching and I'm like, this show has so many issues? The Ultimatum.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard about The Ultimatum?
It's called The Ultimatum. Do I need to know more about it?
That is the most toxic thing I've ever seen.
It is so interesting. If you like reality TV shows, we'll talk about it. Watch The Ultimatum.
We need to move on.
Yeah. We do.
Whoa, you got to give your 2 cents in here.
My favorite relationship?
On screen.
Sean and Juliet.
I like theirs once they actually started dating. Like the early one of that, that's a little too much, Sean.
But Sean and Juliet.
When they started dating, it was great.
From Psych. Okay. Or, I mean, I'll take... I know a lot of people don't like Jim and Pam, but Jim and Pam are pretty good,
too. Jim and Pam are great.
But there's all this stuff like Jim cheated on Pam. Shut up. No, he didn't. You're making shit up.
Yeah,
no. Don't lie to me. All right. If you knew how a relationship worked, you would know that they did not.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, we're gonna go with the closest one so that we can get fast on it.
Star Wars. Yeah.
But if we weren't going with media, if we were going with real life, Michelle Obama and Barack Obama.
That's a good one. That's pretty good.
They are the best.
I don't know too many real life relationships that well.
Tom and
Zendaya. I'm just gonna go right to it. Tom and Zendaya.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. Yeah.
Thank you.
Here.
XR Kun versus Cognis.
All right, let's do it.
You're first.
All right. I have Cognis. She was an assassin and then a Sith lord.
Wow. Mm. Okay.
She is Iktochi. Iktochi.
Yeah.
The people that have like the two like horn things right here, like, but it's like only around their head.
Oh, okay.
She was
Sacy-teen.
Yeah. She was able to see the future.
Oh,
I have another future person.
Way to go.
Now, not only could she see the future, but she could also change the future and make sure that the futures that she wanted came to pass.
What the hell?
Yeah.
How does that work? Is she just really good?
She's that strong.
She's just a manifestation futureness. Queen.
Yes. And you know how powerful that is in this arena.
I guess, yeah.
It sounds fake.
You know who that came from? Darth Bane. Darth Bane said that about that.
He has an agenda. About her. He has an agenda.
This was before she was his... This is... that he said that about her before she was his apprentice.
Everybody says something with an agenda.
When she was just an assassin and had never been trained in the Force.
I have a question.
Yes.
How many times can she like change the future?
As many times as she wants.
Really? Does it not drain her?
She can't do it like she can't. Yes. She can't sit down and just like map out her entire future in one sitting.
I don't know if
just
it's
to
like,
focus on like one thing and like Doctor Strange.
Okay.
It sounds more like a kind of like precognitive sense.
No, she did it during meditation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she sat down and she meditated just like Doctor Strange did in Infinity War.
Okay.
She could see all of the futures and she could pick one and work out how she was going to finish that.
Oh, okay. So it's not a thing where it's like after it passes, she can like go back in time and change it.
No, there's no time travel involved.
Which that makes a big difference here. Because there are things she can't control, no matter what.
Renowned Jedi killer before becoming a Sith. As an assassin, she was just known as a Jedi killer. She did not use a lightsaber. She used 2 vibroblades. I'm sure the Mandalorians use those a lot. When Mando was fighting, what's his name?
Paz
Vizsla.
Paz tried to stab him with a knife.
the Book of Boba Fett, when they were fighting over the sword, mm-hmm. there was those knives that have like, yeah, those are vibroblades. All right, so she used two vibroblades. She could guide her visions from a very young child. When she was very young, she was guiding her future and using visions to do so. Again, she was never trained as a Sith as a young child. She was just grown up and just was an assassin. She never failed to assassinate her target. She had 100% success rate, including Jedi and Sith, like I just mentioned. Like I said, Darth Bane said that she could change the future, basically, to work however she wanted it to. She could also suppress the force power of those around her. Even Darth Bane, she could dampen his force powers, make him less or make him weaker. And then I have something about Eren's guy,
Exar Kun.
Exar Kun will, as Eren, I'm sure Eren will note, willingly destroyed his own body to enter the spirit form, losing powers as he did.
And that's relevant how,
because he lost powers to do that. He's also selfish. And blind.
Yeah, but like, obviously we're taking him at his most powerful, so it's yes, before but, that.
Yeah, right when he uses an entire band of his followers to like do a spell, and he sacrificed all of them to make himself a spirit. As he was being hunted down by the Jedi, and they were literally at his door.
I'm honestly failing to see how that's relevant. I'm like... I'm asking, like, how?
How is it relevant?
Yeah, please.
Well, he's selfish, and he's blind, thinking he's better than everybody.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So he'll, like, underestimation.
Okay, so anyway, I have Exar Kun. In the Legends version of the sequels, he is the Sith. He's shown up in a lot of our stuff ever since then, such as Freedon Nadd, Uluko Drama.
Just Freedon basically Nadd was there to kill him.
Freedon Nadd trained him. Yeah, he's right over
who
there.
Who was the guy? There was a Jedi that's on our list that was there to kill him.
Nomi Sunrider tried to kill him at one point.
Do you mean the prequels?
No, this is sequels. Because he fought.
No, but it was before the Empire.
It is before the Empire.
It was before the Empire.
Because he fought.
What's his name?
He fought and killed Luke's apprentices. All of... By the way, I should mention, he killed all of Luke's apprentices. He force-choked all of his apprentices at once. Why? Including these two. Ben Skywalker and Mara Jade.
So he killed children?
Uluk Qualdrone
no, they were like
showed up to kill him.
Teenage level.
When he was
he didn't kill all of them. Children. He killed most of them.
When he was still a child. Or when he was still a human, Uluk Qualdrone showed up to kill him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's when they dueled.
Yes.
Yeah, and then
well, before they could do that,
Marco Ragnos showed up. yeah, this is very his story's very convoluted and long.
Also, Mara Jade was never Luke's apprentice.
It wasn't.
She was the apprentice of Palpatine.
Jason Solo. My bad. He choked all of Luke's apprentices at once, including Ben Skywalker and Jason Solo.
When they were apprentices. And he was a Force ghost.
Yeah, so I guess that he was before. But either way, like again, this entire timeline
it's
so confusing.
It's like the 90s prequels.
Yeah.
Which are just like crazy. Wild. That's where Dragon's thing exists. Yeah.
Mm. Which I'm going to get into a monster thing with him.
So it's wild. It's a weird time. It was a weird time.
I believe it.
He's also, I guess this is the thing, because he's the first person to use a double blade.
Yeah.
In both in real life. And also in canon. So I guess he is prequels. Anyway, he was doing all that, becoming a dark side cult and all that stuff. Has like a tattoo, like scar on his forehead. Fought Uluk Qualdrone and they fought each other to like a standstill. And then Marco Ragnos showed up and it's just like, stop. You are Sith now. Exar Kun, you're the master. And then left.
Marco Ragnos is also out of this tournament.
Yeah, because
Qualdrone is also out of this tournament.
That's because Marco Ragnos, like, he lost to Anakin Skywalker.
Uluk Qualdrone lost to Darth Revan.
Yeah, not slouch people
I'm just
to lose
saying,
to.
They not here anymore.
But Exar Kun was chosen over Uluk Qualdrone. Then he got trained by Freedon Nad's spirit on Yavin 4. And whenever he learned everything he could from Freedon Nad, he killed his Force Ghost. Which is the only time I've ever heard somebody actually like definitively just backhand a Force Ghost into non-existence. He like burned him into nothingness.
Jeez.
It was metal.
Good, I'm fine with that. Get rid of Freedon Nad.
Also, the thing that ended up with Ulicol Joma getting like drained from the Force completely by Nomi Sunrider. The Nomi Sunrider was one of the two like masters of that technique. Actually three. Exar Kun also was
what?
I was just looking at things, sorry.
Nomi Sunrider is one of like three masters of that technique. Two of them Jedi, the other one being Exar Kun of severing somebody's tie with the Force. The other person in that group was another like this, basically the second in charge Jedi. Tried to cut him off from the Force like Nomi did to Jorma, and he just resisted it, just like no. And refused.
Okay.
He walked into the Galactic Senate, which is filled at this time with thousands of people. Hypnotized all of them, walked straight in and walked out. And to like tell a speech to the galaxy and like show his power, and then walked out.
I also like Cognis does not have to cut him off from the Force. She just naturally dampens powers just like in an aura surrounding her.
Yeah, but that's over before a longer period of time.
Before she was a Sith.
That's over a longer period of time. He can before do this in trained. A really quick manner.
Before she was trained. She was later trained, I'd like to point that out. She did become like a Sith Lord. So.
Oh yeah, he also has a those like amulet, those amulet gauntlets.
That, those freaking gauntlet things again.
Yeah, the like Sith talisman is what they're called that he put fashioned on the gauntlets. He mastered that. Droma never had the chance to master that. Exar Kun mastered it completely using combat. And it has the power to, with a gesture, he disintegrated a full like top Jedi master. With no effort. This is the dragon thing. he took a priest from one of the original priests of Yavin 4. Captured him. And then using the Force, turned him into a demon monster.
Oh my god.
Okay. And it was 100% loyal to him. And served him. Yeah.
What the hell? What is this?
He sounds crazy.
He's way over. He's OP. Luke saw him as the held him in the same Legends. Luke saw him in the same saw him as the same level as Palpatine in power.
It's just kind of like, you put him up and you're like, man, turn some other guy into
this is
a,
also
a demon beast.
This is Legends Palpatine.
But then he's also like, you know, as strong as Palpatine, who's
well,
not here anymore.
We, that's still the being
it is not.
We also discussed Vitiate Palpatine and Exar Kun basically equaled to each other.
Also, I would like to point out that Luke, like, kind of defeated Palpatine.
Huh?
Luke, like, kind of defeated Palpatine. What?
No.
Nah. You hit, like, my elbow, so I thought you were trying to get my attention.
No, I just wanted to touch you.
Oh, okay. Luke, like, defeated Palpatine, so it's kind of like, this guy was as powerful as Palpatine, who I defeated.
Well, Luke didn't defeat him. Luke didn't ever want to. Luke did not want to fight Kun. Never wanted to fight Exar Kun. Because he
are
knew.
You done with your written down things?
That's there's all the stuff written down here.
Okay.
Wait, so what powers did he, like, lose when he, like, became a spirit?
Which, okay, it's again, that's really just irrelevant.
Because he had no connection to, like, the physical world.
I was just curious. I wasn't, like, I was just wanting to know. I'm sorry.
In that state, he was still able to kill several Jedi. Okay. But that's irrelevant to this argument.
Her name is literally Cognis.
His name's literally Coon.
No. You know what? What does Cognis mean?
The one who knows.
That's her literal name.
That's
she can see and change the future.
A title cannot fit the person.
She can see and change the future. He came before her.
In like canon. In,
I don't think in the timeline, he came before her.
Coon in canon is very complex. So I don't know if you can technically say that they exist in the same timeline.
Well, I mean, how would she defeat him?
She can see the future. I don't know how, but she does.
But is there
she's an extremely skilled assassin. Okay? Very quick. Can dampen force powers. I know this man has a lot of force powers, but she can at least dampen them.
But how would he
over
fight?
Time?
Before.
Over time.
Wouldn't
she was even trained. After she was trained, it was like, obviously, you take like your baseline knowledge
it still has
and
to
your
go
baseline
over
force
time.
Power, and then you train it and you multiply it.
But wouldn't she be fighting his force ghost?
No, she would be fighting because we talked about his force ghost is not as powerful. So she's fighting him in
she's
his
prime.
She's
fighting him physical.
The one that like denied getting his force connection severed and was the master of severing
this
people's
guy.
Force connection.
This guy. That guy. Which I'm sure she could see that he was the master of doing so. And figure out a way to counter it because she has time. She has time to meditate on it. She has time to meditate on it.
We have no. You also have no precedent that she acts on that.
Yes, I do.
All of these characters.
Do she's still alive? Prep time. She's still alive. She has never defeated or lost a bounty. She is always. She's 100% success rate on all of her missions. Are you telling me that there's no evidence that her cognition works?
It's speculation. It's purely speculation. Hey, all of these characters, all of them,
have prep time.
Yes.
I understand.
Are you telling me where is...
But he...
Are you telling me
what is he going to do with his prep time?
Are you telling me that Darth Malak... Darth Malak...
I'm saying Bell Zedifar won that fight fair and square.
Darth Malak has prep time. Did he use it correctly?
No. XR Coon also has prep time.
You have no proof that she's going to use it correctly.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I pushed it back a little. Yes, I do, because she does all the time.
Just pure speculation.
No,
Hayden,
you
don't have proof of it.
Yes, I do.
Hayden, you don't have legitimate proof that she's
I'm showing you the proof. I'm showing you the proof. And then you're saying you don't have any proof.
That is an argument from silence.
I'm showing you
she
the proof
hasn't
right
failed
now.
Before.
How
then
does
that
she
means
not?
She's
if
Batman.
She is known, if she is known for being able to see the future and change the future and has never lost, put two and two together, Aaron. It's pretty obvious that she does this all the time.
You don't have the proof of it. You don't have the
yes,
proof?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Also, another thing here, Victoria.
Yeah.
Lightsabers are confirmed now to cut through vibroblades. That's another thing. Her blades can be cut.
Well, then maybe she'll see that in the future when she's looking into the future.
Yeah. So there's also things you can't control.
So she'll just have to be quicker than him.
She can just see the future. Excuse me.
And learn from the future and bring to pass those that suit her.
She cannot control everything. There's no way anybody can control everything. She's gamble. In the end, the best thing she can do is take a gamble. She can take an educated gamble.
With all of the information that she has, though. All of the input that she takes in from meditating for, I believe we have given them in the past 2 weeks. All of the information she has. That's what we did.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, 2 weeks. All right. Meditation for 2 weeks straight. She's going to learn how to defeat this dude. It's possible. It has been done.
Controls people. I just remember looking at this. He apparently has the ability to control people's souls.
That's just weird.
Stop touching my soul.
Cognis wins.
Cognis!
What? Why?
Yes.
Because she can see the future. Souls, that's weird.
That's not an argument.
She can see the future.
She can see the future.
That was not Victoria's reasoning. She can see the future.
That's not an actual argument, Victoria.
Okay. I want him dead. And that's she not can
an
kill him.
That's not an argument either.
That's the end.
That's not an argument
she
either.
She can kill him.
She can
no,
kill
she
him.
No, she can't. How?
Yes.
Oh, my
how?
God.
Because he's a flesh body. You just said you gave him... He's a not a Force Ghost. He is a flesh and blood man.
So is she.
Fight.
She's not a Force Ghost either.
She is not a man.
She's not a Force Ghost either.
Exactly. People die, Aaron.
Yes.
People die. People do die. She kills a lot of them.
He kills a lot of them. He can disintegrate her with a gesture.
Yes, but she has also seen the future in which that happens, and she knows how to get around it.
Good, she knows how to die.
She can see the future and change the
she
future.
Knows, she can basically do the statistics of it and then come out with, oh,
even
I die
if,
here.
Even if she, and there's
then,
only
in
one.
In that case, she would forfeit.
Because even if there is only in one advantage. Future in which she wins, she can make that happen.
How?
How?
Dude, she cannot control everything.
No,
nobody
but
can control everything.
She can see all of the futures and pick out what she needs to do to make the one that works for her happen.
It doesn't. That's not a guaranteed thing.
Nothing's a guaranteed thing, Aaron.
Exactly.
Aaron, did he win every single fight he was ever in? Ever. With anybody.
With anybody?
With anybody.
Once he became Sith, yeah.
Became a Sith, so he has lost in the future.
Sith
or in the past.
Last
he
we're
has
taking
lost
him
before.
At his strongest.
He has lost before.
We're taking him at his strongest.
So we're taking her at her strongest, too.
When she didn't use lightsabers. And when she
yes.
wasn't nearly as powerful as him. When she did not,
she
was not
need
a master.
She use a lightsaber. She just constantly chose not to use a lightsaber because she knew she was far better at vibroblades.
And that's a terrible choice on her part.
Is it? Because she's quicker and faster and smaller than him.
That's a terrible choice on her part.
The
her
judge
blades,
has spoken.
Her blades
the judge
are broken.
Has spoken. He uses a lightsaber from 4,000 years ago, or whenever the hell he lived.
The function of a lightsaber doesn't
they
change.
They get stronger.
No, they
this
do not.
This is common knowledge.
No, it is not.
Yes, they do.
That is not
yes,
explained.
They do. The
that
lightsabers
never
get
explained.
Stronger as we go.
That is never explained. That is never said. It's an ancient weapon.
Yes, but they have gotten stronger, Aaron.
No, they... Dude, the people in the galaxy do not... That use lightsabers don't like
Look
to mess
up.
With it.
Look it up.
No, that's not... That is not valid. They don't like messing with lightsabers. Except to add another blade. They don't like messing with blade power.
Is he using two blades?
He's using a double blade.
Okay, so you're splitting the power.
No, it's not. There's two kyber crystals, Hayden.
His lightsaber is not as powerful as Darth Maul's
you're
lightsaber.
Having to... Dude, you're having to resort... To this argument.
It doesn't... I'm having to because that is the only thing that you said that I can combat because you're just not seeing that she contains the future.
She cannot change the future. That is not what... Okay. Her powers are to see the future.
Yes.
And to try to come out with the outcome
no, she
where
can
she wins. That
bring
does not
to pass
change.
Those that suit her.
That literally
bring
just
to pass those that suit her.
That literally just means she watched the movie before and knows
how... And she can tell
how
you how it ends.
And knows how to go through it.
Yet.
That does not mean she changes the future.
That's what I just said!
It means she knows... She knows all of the ways it can play out. And she can try to get for the best one. But she cannot change it. She cannot change time.
She can navigate time to be successful.
No,
does that help you? Does
she
that
can
make you
navigate,
feel better?
Is that yes,
a better
she cannot
thing
change,
to say?
Yes.
She can navigate time to be successful in which she actually wins.
Yes, but it's not always possible to win it, like that.
Okay.
Not but, if she has no chance.
Dude, if she has 15
okay,
million.
She definitely has a chance, okay? Basically, this is her power. Okay, she can roll the dice as many times she wants in her head, okay, of as many outcomes, as many things as he will throw at her, okay? And then she can come to the part where she wins, right? After she rolls the dice all those times, okay? And then when she meets him in the arena, she just does that exact same thing.
But she can never control everything at once.
She can't control it, but that doesn't mean that she cannot find an outcome where she wins.
There are too many factors that come into the fact of win or lose. A rock being misplaced.
I have a question.
It can come into it being a factor. She can't control that.
I'd like to say something. Infinity War.
Yes.
Doctor Strange looked into the future. Did he change the future?
No, he gambled.
He looked into the future, and he gambled. He rolled the dice.
And he got
on lucky. Every single little thing that had to go right. He knew that half of them had to die to win.
He gambled and got lucky because of plot. He gambled and
got wrecky. Lucky. She's going to gamble, and she has a better chance than not of getting it right.
Okay, in his gamble, he was made lucky by plot development and by the fact of like the TVA. She does not have a TVA. She does not have a plot to guide her. Her gamble is just that. It's a gamble. And no matter what,
but she still has a better than not chance of being successful.
She also has a better than not chance of just getting disintegrated.
Regardless of if it's a gamble or not, she is basically practicing over and over and over again on how to fight him. Okay, so you're just saying like, oh, he'll just disintegrate her. She's practicing, like, she knows all of his moves and all of his powers by the time she even steps into the arena, so he doesn't have the chance to just disintegrate her.
Even if she does, at the point she steps into the arena, he can start severing her connection to the Force, and that cuts off her knowledge.
She can do the same thing to him.
That slowly dampen it. Dampen is not the same thing as a sever.
But it would make him less strong, wouldn't it?
She's kind of just like pushing things down into a box. He's cutting a string.
At the end of the day, she has still gone over this fight in her head. So she already knows his move before he moves it.
If he starts to sever the Force, she loses that ability. She loses the ability to remember everything and remember exactly.
No, because that's her memory. That's not based on the Force. That's just her memory.
She loses the ability to see what's going to happen before it happens. If he severs
her. But she already has seen what's going to happen. She has already seen it.
She's seen billions of them.
Yes, but then
no one can remember exactly every detail.
She will find that one way, and she will make that happen.
No, there's no way that happens. She will. She can't remember 14 billion different possibilities.
She doesn't have to remember 14 billion. She doesn't have to remember 14 billion. She just needs to remember the one.
And, okay, in that case of remembering one, that is fully reliant on a string of events.
Yes, but
a butterfly event. In this exact moment, he has to do this one exact thing. He has to slightly move to the left if I'm going to win. If he moves to the right, she loses track of that and then has to improvise and can't look into the future anymore.
The thing is that this is the future of what is going to happen. Okay? So she's not changing the future. So you saying him moving to the left and not to the right is a change in the future.
No, it's not.
Okay, here.
If she's looking into the future and thinking, everything I need to happen needs to go like this, 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 and this, this, and like a list of everything needs to happen that is taking in her, Kun, and the entire arena and everything that happens in there. If one thing does not go her way, then she loses a full string of possibilities.
Okay, Aaron. If you could see the future and you were going into a fight, how would you go about it?
I'd try to memorize.
What is the first thing you would start with? What would you start with? If you're looking into the future.
Because this is completely based on her. And her decision-making and his decision-making.
Yes, but this is probably how you do it, because this is the only way that makes sense to do it. What you're saying is that she memorizes all of these ways that she could win.
Yes.
All of these turns. She doesn't have to memorize all the turns. She just needs to walk in and say, okay, if I take a right step to the right, he's going to take a step to the left. All right? I just need to take a step to the right. He takes a step to the left. because that's exactly what was going to happen. The next thing that happens,
I take a step to the right, and he takes a step to the right.
She will go through this fight, and then she one move at a time, and see what happens after that move. So if she, it's like building a chain, okay? She's going to do this, then she's going to do this. This is how he reacts, she'll do this. This is how he reacts, she'll do this. It's one line, not a million. It's one line.
And then, okay, you just invalidated the force saver part. If you, because she's going one move at a time.
Yes, but if he that cuts is his off first her move. Force sever,
then
that
she loses each move. Step.
That's the first move she's going to do.
It's a memory thing. It's not a force thing. She did, if he severs
then there's no the way, force. Again, there's no way she can remember each separate she move and all of the ways to do it.
Yes, there is.
That's just fighting. That's just she, combat.
Yeah, except she has to remember like that. 60 for every move.
No, it's not.
No, she doesn't need to remember individual. Like, it's not like a whole thing. It's not an orchestra piece, Aaron. It's her one part. She's playing first trombone, okay? She's playing that very top of the staff that nobody likes to play, right? But she has her part memorized. Does she need to know what the tambourine is playing? Or what beats the tambourine is playing on? Does she need to know when the flute is playing? No. Do those beats line up sometimes? Yes. But she doesn't need to memorize those. She has her part memorized. So she knows exactly what she will do.
Even if her part is memorized, then that's not... There's an infinite number of possibilities going off of everything else going into that, going off of Kuhn.
No, she because you just need fully, to find the trail.
Even if she follows her side of it, she cannot predict everything. She cannot predict, if she's cut off from the force, she cannot predict it at all. But there's an infinite number of possibilities of what Kuhn could do as well.
Okay, well, think about it. I'm going to continue the music thing, okay? Are every note on the same line? Is every note on the same line?
What do you
like which the staff? Line, which okay, line? If there's a note in the middle on the middle line,
no,
is the next note going to also be on the middle line?
Well, I mean, there's a possibility of it.
There is a possibility of it. The is next it note, guaranteed?
The next note is of an infinite array of notes.
Yeah, but you can. It is an infinite array of notes, but you're only going to play one of them.
Yeah, and aren't then you? But you don't. Whenever you go in and sight read, you don't know what then. You don't.
Yes, but no. You have 2 weeks to prepare for your sight reading. It's like you get the piece 2 weeks ahead. You have 2 weeks to memorize it. Can you like, memorize a piece in 2 weeks?
It's like walking in... You're,
I know for a fact you did.
It's like walking into a... It's, okay. It, what you're describing is like... If you're going to continue with the orchestra thing, it's like walking in, having predicted a full orchestra.
Yeah. No, she doesn't need to predict the full like orchestra.
Never mind. Her part in an orchestra.
Yes.
And then it's like, I'm going to predict like this based off of this, this, and this. Like the key. This is the key, so they're probably going to stay in that.
Okay.
And then I can narrow that down. But she, in the end, she cannot will another instrument to stay in the key.
She doesn't have to. She only has to worry about herself. Aaron. She has seen all of the possibilities that he could do as
if
well.
If she worries about herself,
she has seen all the possibilities of how he can do.
If you're in the orchestra and you only worry about yourself in that situation, and if one instrument messes up, the entire group looks bad.
Okay.
If one variable goes wrong, the entire duel is done.
All right.
Not even if she does it perfectly.
Exar Kuhn is the composer. Okay? He's the composer. She is this trombone player. She has spent 2 weeks memorizing her part. She knows it down. Pat. She watches him. If he starts conducting, right? If he slows down, she still knows her part. Right?
Yeah.
Right? If she shows up even, if you want to go like this, if she shows up and she knows her part, she knows the chord progressions, she knows everything she's supposed to do, they change the key on her. She's a professional musician. She can do that.
And if he just straight up throws a chair at her,
she'll move out of the way.
A ball throws a ball out of left field.
Chair from?
I'm doing something unexpected. I'm saying that something unexpected happens. A ball out of left field.
There is no unexpected with her. She has seen all of his unexpected. There is no unexpected. She expects exactly what's going to happen. She expects exactly what's going to happen.
What she takes into account, though, when she would be doing this one is more likely, so I'll lean more into that.
No, it's not a more likely thing. It's a, this worked, moving on. This works, this is what he'll do, move on. This works, this is what he'll do, move on. This works, etc. Until she stabs him in the back. And game over. That's how it would work.
It is.
That's how she would do it. You wanted me to tell you how she would win? That's how she would win. She would spend 2 weeks meditating. Hardcore meditating, just like she did in the story. On every single piece of the fight and every single response he would have to her actions. And a response that worked for her. Moving into his next piece and a response that worked for her. And next piece, a response that worked for her until she won. And then she would have her string of events that she needed to do memorized until she got into that fight and then put it into action.
It's entirely based on memory. And if she
her
goes
force
into
is
that,
not connected to the memory. Her memory and her force power are not connected.
I understand that. If she goes in there and her force connection is severed, then that stops her from foreseeing any more future. And it's left to adjust her memory. No matter how good that memory is,
she's
that memory is flawed.
It's muscle memory. It is muscle memory.
And that is still flawed. Muscle memory is still flawed.
Aaron, have you watched Sherlock Holmes?
Yes.
Okay.
Sherlock Holmes still gets it wrong. He still gets stuff wrong.
It's the same situation in the way he fights. Like, he goes through it. And then he fights. That's just an example. There,
and that's part of the thing. He doesn't always get it right. Sherlock Holmes is making gambles every second. And he doesn't always get it right.
You were in a marching band. In high school. You were in marching band for 4 years. Did you have a perfect show?
No. No one ever
did. No one ever does. Do you start on the right time and end on the right time? Were you everywhere you needed to be on the time that you needed to be as a senior in high school?
No.
You, personally.
So you're just saying that...
Were you?
No.
Okay. Did you start and finish where you were supposed to? Did you start and finish where you were supposed to?
Probably not exactly.
Did you complete the goal, Aaron?
Depends on what
did
your goal...
Did you complete the goal?
That completely depends on what the goal is.
Yes, you did. You completed the goal...
But not if... Okay, that's also because it was a high school thing.
Think about...
Not a professional
thing. Think about
thing.
Everybody else on the field. Could you control everybody else on the field?
No.
No. Could you control the drum major and slowing down randomly?
No. And things still didn't... And when it happened, it still went badly for me.
It still did, but you dealt with it, didn't you? Okay. You didn't just fall.
Moral of the story. Cogniz wins. We are done. Because I am tired. And
we had one
I'm
more.
Done.
We have one more.
Oh. Darn it.
Well, yours is Mando, so...
Mine is Mando. So, and that's the low side. That's the lower side.
We spent all this time arguing and we still have another
one. One more, yeah. Well, we also spent a lot of time talking about relationships.
Yeah.
Not as much time as we talked about this stupid, dumbass argument. I will kick a baby.
Don't do that. talk about probing again.
So, Mando going in here. You know his story.
Yeah.
His armor is pure Beskar and fully lightsaber proof. It doesn't even heat up when
Who's
you
he
a lightsaber.
Malgus.
Darth Malgus.
Cool.
It does not heat up when a lightsaber hits it. He has, including his weapons, two blaster pistol, a backup blaster pistol, an Anben rifle with a shock bayonet that is able to shock and harm a full crate dragon. And several large creatures, whatever that giant walrus thing was in the first episode. And it also has the power to disintegrate somebody upon contact.
I do not remember a walrus thing.
It reached up and grabbed his landing gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he shocked it to let go.
That was a
go.
Walrus?
I don't know. I saw somebody describe it as one.
Yeah. Was that the thing that Grogu ended up like...
No, it was before Grogu.
Yeah, it was like
it was in the first 5 minutes.
The ice planet.
Thing. Yeah, it broke out and grabbed his landing gear and then he leaned out. And I don't think it wasn't very walrusy.
I was thinking whale.
Maybe more whale. Anyway, the shock prod on it can send somebody flying 20 feet, and it can also harm a giant creature. That's basically the point of what I'm trying to do. And disintegrate somebody.
The illegal rifle?
Yeah. The Ammon rifle. He also, in his weapons, he also includes a vibroblade knife, which he talked about, a Beskar spear that you saw him use constantly, and the Darksaber.
Which later got melted down, unfortunately. That was some dumbass shit.
It was. He needs that spear.
The spear was the best part. He was way better with the spear.
And no
the,
more tangents. I'll punch you in the face.
Right, and the Darksaber. And his gadgets include jetpack, flamethrower, grappling hook, attach explosives that he has. His helmet has thermal vision and audio tracking from long distance. That doesn't really go. The tracking doesn't really go, but the thermal vision might be useful. Various other blaster rifles that he kept on the Razor Crest, and several flash charges. And the most important one that Malgus for sure has never seen, because it was made up for Mandalorian, and therefore is like very likely a new innovation, the Whistling Birds, which are basically like he's only ever had to use them against several targets. But when you think about it, those are like the Achilles heel to Force users, because there's several high-pitched, tiny little needles that fly in random directions and hit you from random angles. And then, like, burn straight through you and just keep going. And they can hit you several times. So it's really hard to block. It's really hard to predict them. So it's really, like, the bane of Force users. Most of his stuff, like killing a crate dragon. First to kill a dark trooper, which is completely blaster proof. His armor got bitten by a rancor, got punched into the wall by a dark trooper. It's taking explosives. I have a full thing for this. Lightsabers, explosives, an e-web, continuous blaster fire, rancors, getting eaten by a crate dragon, and never even the polish never even kind of diminished, never dented, anything like that. The big thing here is he's been fighting constantly, like the full vibe of like, what do you young Mando, like what do you get out of this Mando target practice, that kind of thing. He's very suited up to be the leader of Mandalore. And he has innovations in Mandalorian weapons that Bane has not seen yet.
I don't have Bane.
Malgus has not seen yet. Technically, not Bane either.
Either of those guys. What?
Go ahead, Hayden.
Yeah.
Okay, Malgus. The Whistling Birds things. Okay, I would like to start off by saying I love me some Mandalorian. Din Djarin is the dude. Okay. I love you, Din Djarin, but I'm sorry. The Whistling Birds. Aaron, you said the Whistling Birds is a big deal for somebody with Force powers. Not when you can use Force Scream to knock ships out of the sky. And also burning through him. Not when you get a mountain dropped on you. And then surviving. Not when you get your jaw chopped off and then surviving.
It is a bit different getting like stabbed versus getting a mountain dropped. It's like blunt versus stab. It is a bit different.
My guy, Malgus, stormed the Jedi Temple on his own. Killed the Jedi in there and burned it to the ground. He is ridiculously powerful. Like I said, he can force scream ships out of the sky. He's one of the best duelists that we've ever seen in Star Wars. He grew up in a war. All right. He defeated a Jedi battlemaster after watching his master get defeated one-on-one.
No, that's Malgus good for and Cal Sindarak. That's healthy for a second.
Right, he defeated Cal Sindarak one on one. Cal Sindarak is who we'll talk about next episode, right? Is no slouch. So Malgus is just ridiculous. Right? I know Din Djarin is a great fighter. And I know he's got technology. But he doesn't have anything that compares to the power that he's seen. He's never seen anybody as powerful as Malgus. Even with the Darksaber, which can go up against a lightsaber, he's not proficient enough in the Darksaber to fight Malgus with
him. I was going mostly with him using the spear. It's also Pedro Pascal.
Still don't think.
Pedro Pascal is good with spears.
I think he might be able to hold it off, but he doesn't have force powers. And Malgus is very strong in the force.
He has a baby.
Again? Man's got a family. Again? Malgus got an entire mountain dropped on top of him, and it did not crush him. It sure made him mad. And when Malgus becomes angry, bad things happen. So.
Boo, I don't like this.
Malgus. I'm sorry.
I know what decision you're going to come to. Go ahead and make that. Do you have any questions?
No.
Is it who we think it is?
Yeah.
I move that we pluck Din out of the fight, and he can chill up here.
That's fine.
Chill up here with Buriaga.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he can sit in the background and not really say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We can hang out together.
Mando's not dead.
Okay. He's just excused from dreading this.
Wouldn't it be great if they became friends?
Buriaga and Mando?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Mando has a lot of problems to work through. And Buriaga's a good listener.
He could use a Wookiee. Yeah, a passionate Wookiee that's also like an empath.
Yeah.
He could really use that.
Yeah.
He could work more through his droid things. By the way, I forgot about this, but you remember that he called R2 friend? I forgot about that.
He did, yeah.
He went from hating droids to like this random droid he met for like 2 seconds. It was just like, hey, friend.
And it's because
R2's the best.
IG-77 or
11. Oh, yeah, because he sacrificed himself for him.
He's fine. He's getting a lot of character development.
All right, well, that's about it for today.
It is.
Finally. I know it's kind of stretched out a little bit longer than I was expecting it to do.
It's too long.
We're on a lot of tangents. I'm sorry. We thought it was going to be quick.
For the next 4 episodes, it's probably going to be like this. We're around an hour and a half. But after that, we're just going down to 2 fights an episode.
And it's still going to be an hour and a half.
And it's still going to be an hour and a half, but it's only going to be like 4 different characters.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look forward to there.
Yeah, I guess let's try to wrap it up pretty quick.
Yeah, what you got, Aaron? What's next?
Next week, we have Darth Bane versus...
No, wait. Next week is a special.
Yeah, next week is a... Hey, take that away.
Next week will be probably podcast only. No YouTube. It'll be another Nerdament Mini. This time with Matt McNamara. It'll be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. As far as I know, as of recording, unless it changes last minute in the next week. Mm-hmm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus the Penguins from Madagascar.
Which should be quite interesting.
It should. So, yeah. That's next week. But the week after, Aaron.
The week after that.
When we're back on YouTube.
Yes. The next week of this bracket, 2 weeks from now, will be Darth Vane versus Imbo, Galen Merrick versus Freedon Nad, Boba Fett versus Darth Xana, and Nomi Sunrider versus Cal Sandorok.
Ooh, Sunrider.
We're start. The winners of those will fight Vitiate, Luke, Yoda, or General Grievous. Right? No, the winners of those will fight the winners from today.
Yeah.
They'll fight the winners from today. So we're making matchups next time.
Yeah, we're starting the matchups.
Like us, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, subscribe, leave a review on the podcast.
Check up with us during the week on shorts.
Yeah, we have a short coming out every day. I've been on that. I'm starting to run out of ideas.
Don't tell them that.
Follow us, like it, subscribe, leave comments, tell us that we're wrong. Tell us that Aaron's disbelief in romantic relationships in Star Wars is a bit odd.
Phineas and Isabella are a good relationship.
Are they?
Okay.
I'll get into that. Despite how, like, all the troublesomes part of it. I am fine with it and Isabella.
Okay. He just picks and chooses relationships.
That's something for you to say. If you stuck around this long, that's something you can talk to Aaron about. But yeah, we'll see you on YouTube in a couple weeks. We'll see you next week, podcast peoples. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.